Hard beyond all recognition, yes. More than the sons of man.
Yep.
In spite of all those things, he still came.
Yep. Amen.
He bore the cross to Calvary. He bore the cross for me. Getting saved makes that personal. What you've got to understand and come to grips with as a Christian is Christ is personal.
Amen.
He's not just an untouchable, unsearchable God. He's a wonderful, almighty, and holy God that can be touched, that can be spoken to. Not only did he carry the cross, he still waits in heaven with a bended ear, waiting to hear from you. You say, well, Brother Dave, you don't understand where I've been. Maybe. Maybe I don't. But he does. He knows where we've been. He knows our lives. He knows what our thoughts are. And yet he still cares enough about you and me to listen. And that's one of his greatest desires, is to hear from you. One of his greatest desires, he's in heaven today saying, Brother Mark, would you please talk to me? You say, I'm not worthy. You're right. You're right. But he still wants you to talk to him. What a great God. What a great God. The title of the message tonight, Brother John, is called Dr. Devil. Not meaning that doctors are devils. Some, though, certainly skirt hell, I would imagine, but not in this case. This case, we're talking about the devil himself. The devil hates this kind of preaching. He hates the fact that people are going to call his deeds into light, going to call his person into light, to let people see him for what he really is. Understand tonight, as I'm preaching, I'm trying to deal with your spiritual self, not your physical self, although a lot of the things that we go through is for a lack of prayer. A lot of the things that we have in our lives are because of a lack of faith and a lack of calling upon Christ. I don't want to deal with the physical, though, tonight. I would like to deal with the spiritual. This nation that we live in is in desperate need of spiritual help. And we are seeing the wrong doctor every day. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Let's all stand together as we read. We're just going to read a couple of verses. Matthew chapter 9. Starting in verse 10, the Bible says, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? I want you to read this verse with me. I want you to responsibly read. I'm going to read. You read while I'm reading. I want you to read this too. The verse says in verse 12, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The people that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand in the pulpit. Lord, I'm thankful that you introduced the book to me again, Teaching on Preaching by Brother Hiles. Lord, I understand that where I stand today is in your place. Lord, I need you to speak through me. This is your hour, not mine. And Lord, please help us to understand, glean something from this truth. Lord, that we may be steered in the right direction in a day that there's so many misdirections. Lord, as always my prayer, help me to decrease to nothing and help you to increase to everything tonight. We need to hear from you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible never says the term, although we banner around the term great physician quite often. The term is never in the scriptures, great physician. But understand this, Jesus is the great physician. The Bible says that he calls himself a physician here. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So he's inferring himself as a physician. Giving us this verse, he's also letting us know that there are sick. There are sick that are out there. You might say, well, Brother Dave, this is just dealing with unsaved people. Yes, unsaved people are sick as well, but understand this. The righteous, the saved people, the folks that know Christ as their Savior, very often become sick themselves. Very often will become anemic in their soul life, anemic in their spirit life, anemic in their Bible reading. They become tired and weary in the work that they're doing, understanding that this is a world that's full of heartache, a world that's full of tragedy, but there is a great physician that we really need to get a seeking from. We really need to understand, Jesus, we need to call on you tonight. We need to answer from you instead of going everywhere else. As good Christian people, as mature Christian people, you must understand that there are vast opportunities to seek Christ. However, the majority of the time, and maybe I'm only preaching to myself, the majority of the time, we seek help elsewhere. We speak of the devil. If you study him for just a short time, you will understand that the devil is the arch counterfeiter. He desires in his will and his way, he wants to be Jesus Christ. He wants to have the preeminence. He wants to be the guy. Doing this, he tries his best. He really has no original thought of his own. He really does everything in trying to parallel what Jesus has done. He really does everything to try to be like Christ was. He can't do it. He can't do everything that Christ does, and his motives are completely different. But understand, his desire is to get you to not serve God. That's his whole agenda. Does not have a will for your life, does not have a way for your life, but he has a desire to get you to not serve God. Now, you may think in your mind, well, he wants us to do bad things, go off and drink alcohol, go off and do drugs, go off and do that. And those are bad and those are terrible things. Stay away from pornography and stay away from all those things. I understand. Yes, those are all bad. But the devil does not work that way. He works first with something good that takes your eyes off of Christ. Does it every time. He's the most subtle creature ever created. He really is. And he still is powerful today. Now we're going to talk about Dr. Devil. We're going to talk about him in his thought process, in his life, and some of the ways that I believe we've been entrapped. Some of the ways that we've been taken down by the devil himself. I've got 4 points and I won't take long tonight. But this is what the devil does. And we're talking about a sickly person. A sickly spiritual person, the first thing the devil wants to do is to pervert your diagnosis. The first thing he wants to do is pervert your diagnosis. I do not like going to the doctor of any kind. I'm talking the family doctor. Don't like going to him. I'm always worried that they're going to come up with something that I have. It's amazing how people go in, I haven't been sick for years, doc. And you come in there, I got diabetes and tumor and heart problems now, and I got to take 18 medications to take care of all that, but you weren't sick when you went in. Right. See, what the devil wants to do, if you went in for a diagnosis and you went in, let me help you out a little bit here. The reason that you come to church, believe it or not, is not to worship God. A lot of folks would love to believe that this is a center of worship. This is not a center of worship. This is a center of healing people. I'm not talking about laying your hands on people and healing them. I'm talking about a weekly war that we as Christians are supposed to be in. This weekly war will have casualties. This weekly war will have wounds. This weekly war will have things that happen to you as a Christian that you have along the way where you come in here dragging, but you leave shouting. It's an infirmary. It's a place where you can come and realize that everybody in here is having a hard time. It's a place where you realize that, yes, the battle is still raging today and people are still fighting it today. Whether it would be with silly bus route or whatever day comes in front of you, those are all tactics to fight the enemy. That enemy desires to pervert your diagnosis. What would your diagnosis be, Brother Dave? I don't know your issues, but you got to run them over in your mind. What are your issues today? do you have an issue of a sickness of being of tired of hearing the word of God? Now you may think, well, that's crazy. Does there come a time in your life when you're so far off the beaten path, so far off what the word of God has to say, that you can't stand to hear it anymore? You might say, no way, brother. I don't know. There's days when the Lord has convicted me so much that, man, you just don't want to hear from him today. The devil would like to come in and say, hey, everything's all right. The devil would like to say, and I've heard of a lot of Christians, I heard a crazy number on the TV set. I'm just going to use this as an example, but we heard also at that conference, we heard in Mansfield, a man said that 50% of the people that watch pornography are Christians. The devil would like to pervert your diagnosis and say, you don't have a problem. It's okay to look at naked people. It's just art. That is sick, piggish thinking. And I'm going to be really honest with you. The devil wants you to think that what you're going through right now is okay. It's no big deal. Well, I've got news for you. The great physician says, there is a problem. And I'm going to be honest. I hate the C word. I hope you know what that is. I hate the C word. I hate cancer. But I'm going to be honest with you. If I ever get cancer, I don't want the doctor to lie to me. I don't want the doctor to tell me you really don't have a tumor. I don't want the doctor to come to me and give me a false diagnosis, leading me down the path that I don't really need to go down. I don't want to know from somebody that this is really not how you have to do things. I don't want to have Bob Shell, our youth director, who's doing a fantastic job. I don't want him someday to confront a teenager and tell them the wrong diagnosis. Do you understand? I want to help you a little bit here. We have got a shepherd. That shepherd is Dr. Richard E. Skiver. There's been many times that people have come to him throughout the years, and I don't have to take up for him. He's all on his own. But understand this. There's been many times when our pastor has tried to help us throughout the years, but we've said no. And our pastor has come with the diagnosis. This is what's going on in your life. I remember him telling a story about going to a man's trailer and finding all the alcohol bottles and pouring them down the drain one after another, one after another, one after another. And the man said, wait a minute. Now, if he was a pastor that didn't care about that man's life, he'd just left the alcohol there and say, don't you drink it no more. But instead, he said, no, this is your diagnosis. This is your problem. This is what's taking you down the wrong path, and this is what has to be fixed. We as Christians, in this house, and by the way, I pray that what I'm preaching tonight is preventative. But what if it isn't? The Lord put this on my heart. As I was reading that book, the Lord put this on my heart to preach to you. And I've said this all the time. I preach to me too. Don't think for one minute, well, Brother Dave is standing up there and yelling at me tonight. No, Brother Dave's been yelling at himself all week over this. See, I've got problems too, but I don't want the wrong diagnosis. Because if you've got the wrong diagnosis, how in the world are you going to move forward if you don't know what your sickness is? Your sin could be a sin of pride. Seems like that's where a lot of sin comes from. Pride. Pride of thinking more of yourself than you ought to think. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think I can think less of myself lately. I really don't. And you might say, well, Brother Dave, I understand this. The more I read about Paul, I believe I'm developing a link with him. The statements that he makes about himself, oh, wretched man that I am. He had the right diagnosis. Oh, wretched man that I am. The devil could have said, you know what, Paul, you're doing a great job. Paul, why in the world don't you come out from among those people, start healing people, and start selling them handkerchiefs? And Paul hit the devil right in the mouth and said, oh, wretched man that I am. How in the world could the Lord do something through me? See, what we've got to come to grips with in this world, we don't deserve anything that God gives us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve him carrying the cross down Calvary's road. We don't deserve him being, I'm just going to be honest with you. We don't deserve him smelling the stall when he was born. And he went all the way. But you know, the way never really did stop, did it? He keeps on keeping on for you and for me every day, waiting desperately for your diagnosis to come through so you can come to Him and embrace Him as your Lord and Savior. Now listen, I understand that you're saved in here today, but have you really embraced Him as your Lord? That's a good question, preacher. Thank you. Thank you. Because I'm going to be honest with you, many times I don't embrace Him as my Lord. He's my Savior. But do I put Him in His rightful place as Lord and my God? Frightful times we're living in. Because I'm going to be honest with you, many things today can be your God. Idolatry is another diagnosis. Preacher called us out on it. I put us in because I was one of them. Matter of fact, I felt bad to even tell anybody. I watched the Michigan game that day. Preacher preached on sports. I love Michigan. I love the Steelers. I'm hated in here because of it. But I'm going to be honest with you. Do we hold that to be an idol in our life to where we would rather watch the TV for 3 hours, but we can't even think about reading our Bible for 3 hours? You need the diagnosis. The preacher poured his heart out, saying, please, please, come away from that idolatry. Did you find yourself wrapped up in it again this week? I'm going to be honest with you. I sat there and I said, man, I know that if I know the score at the end of the day, I'm going to feel bad because I know the score. But I want the right diagnosis. I want the right diagnosis. Second thing the devil does, once you get the diagnosis, the devil wants to dilute the medication. The devil wants to dilute the medication. Now, I remember being a child. How many in here have ever had a penicillin shot?
Oh, yeah.
A shot.
Yes.
Not a pill.
No,
not the little liquid that they warm up with Kool-Aid and put in. No problem. I'm talking about the shot. The one that comes out this long. And the needle is this long. And about that big. And they say, bear your tooketh. As a child, that's the one thing you never want to hear. There's never a good connotation with bear your tooketh. And the doctor takes the needle and brings the thickest solution of medication ever known to man to put in your saddle soaper. Can you imagine that catheter as a child? I mean, the doctor got to get a running start to get that needle in your hind end. Listen to me. I hated that. But in 3 days, I was well. Hold on now. Hold on now. I want you to think with me. This is a practical application here. Now they give you amoxicillin.
Yeah.
Not in a shot.
Down.
You've got diluted medication. And that diluted medication does what? Listen to me now. The diluted medication not only does nothing, it keeps you sick.
Yeah. Right.
I don't want Z-Pak.
Right.
I don't want amoxicillin. I don't want, this is penicillin, really, preacher, but really it's not.
Yeah, right.
I want penicillin, the shot. I want the right medication and nothing diluted. Hey, listen, when you get the diagnosis, go into your scriptures because in there you're going to find some good medication. And don't you dare settle for a diluted one.
Right.
Oh, but you're just going to preach on the King James Bible. You always do this. You betcha.
Amen.
There's one thing I promise you. I will go to my last breath. Holding on to the inspiration, preservation, perfection, infallible, inerrant, perfect Word of God. If I'm preaching to myself, I'll be happy. Because I don't need no diluted medication for my life. These preachers stand up here and just pour their heart out to you out of the Word of God, knowing that we've got a room full of sick people that desperately need Jesus Christ and desperately need His Word. I challenge you to search the Scriptures. I challenge you to search the Scriptures because in there is where you're going to find out what's going on in here. I don't know how to live my life. I'm so depressed. I think I'm going to see a psychiatrist. The world won't help you. I did not come to save the ones that are not sick. I did not come to help the ones that were not sick. I came to help the ones that are ill. I came to help the ones that need me. I came to help the ones that are sickly and in their spirit. They need me today. That's who I came to help. Are you one of them? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I am. I am one that in my spirit, I know that I need him. I know that I've got a diagnosis. And what's amazing is Jesus has a thick enough prescription pad to fix everything I've got wrong. Because I got to be honest with you, it's a thick one. It's a thick one. There's problems in my life that I deal with, and no, I'm not in pornography. I'm not in drinking alcohol. I'm not in marijuana or any of the things that they're trying to legalize to make you feel better about being illegal. I'm not in any of those things. That's what we need to do, by the way, Bobby. I think what we need to do is put a petition before Congress to make it legal so all of our teenagers can be high all the time. I think that'd be great. I think it'd be great. Why in the world keep it from them? They're just going to get it anyhow. That's the philosophy that's ruined more teenagers' lives than I can even shake a stick at. Get mad at this preacher all you want. My mama handed me beer going out the door saying it'll be all right. You're going to get it anyhow, so it might as well come from me. I'm not going to live my life that way. My children have a diagnosis, and I'm not going to dilute the medicine that they need. My child's in trouble. I'm going to give them the full dose. Amen. You say, well, it's going to hurt. It hurt. But, boy, I felt better in a couple days. Boy, when the preacher preaches at me, I just want to get up and walk out. You know why? Because you want diluted medicine. You want him to stand up here and be Joel for you. You want him to stand up here and bat his little eyes and gleam his gnarled smile at you. All you had to do is keep on giving in our Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets as they come around. The Lord will open up the windows of heaven, send down blessings upon us all. Won't you come? That makes me want to throw up. The only time that man gets excited is when he cashes his paycheck. He perverts the diagnosis. He dilutes the medicine. And by doing so, he prevents the cure. Listen to me. I know that we've got an old, dead, rotting corpse on our back called Mr. Sin. I know that we'll never shake him. I understand that. There's two applications here. He prevents the cure. He prevents the cure by keeping us out of the battle to have more folks get saved. And by the way, it isn't very hard to keep us from soul winning anymore, is it? Oh, Brother Dave, you just hit it right there. Everybody's feet just got stepped on. I'm not talking about Saturdays. Although I really think we, and I'm including myself, need to make more of a point and an effort to be here on Saturday to go soul winning with the church, just to be an encouragement. Even if you don't win anybody, come be an encouragement. But in your daily lives, I'm diagnosing a problem that I have in my life. A diagnosed problem in my life is, I listen to me now, it's a little different than you think. I don't find myself, Brother Mike, praying for the people I'm going to meet today. It's not about the soul winning necessarily, but it's about the preparation to do so. As a Christian, are you only a Christian for 45 minutes a week during church? Or are we Christians every day? Are we Christians all day? Are we living alive? I'm diagnosing a problem right now. The Lord, if he's speaking to you, amen. Understand this. The Lord desires us to be cognizant of who he is all the time. Being cognizant of who he is all the time gives us no choice but to tell those around us about the man who knew who I was, knew what I was, knew who I was going to be, and still died for me. That to me is a diagnosed problem. I'm not going to dilute the medicine. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm doing the best I can. No, you're not. You're not doing the best you can. We're not doing the best we can. We're not doing the best we can. Bethel, we're not doing the best we can. I'm not doing the best I can. And I got to believe that some of us in here are white where Brother Dave is. I'm not doing the best I can. I'm glad you are bringing 35 people a week to come in. I don't care about the numbers, but I care about who did you tell this last week? Who did you give a tract to this last week? Who did you explain it? I know the great physician. Would you like to also? There's a diagnosed problem, and the problem is this. Why do we have so many abortions? Because we got so few saved people. Why in the, why in the world do we have President Obama running around in the White House? I don't care what president it is. George Bush did a cruddy job too. Yeah, amen. Why do we have that man? Why do we have bad people in the White House? Because we got very few saved people. We've got very few preachers ready to spit anymore, giving the people the right diagnosis, giving the people non-diluted medicine, giving them full-strength penicillin shot right in their bare tuchus. And it's preventing the cure for our nation. The first time we get a problem around your Christianity, you tuck tail and run. I don't like the preacher anymore, and you beat feet for the door. You coward. Good preaching, Brother Dave. Thank you. We can't wait. We walk out the door sick. We walk out the door coughing. We walk out the door throwing up. We walk out the door with raging sickness, with a preacher that cares and loves our lives. And does it, you think this preacher wants bad for you? Do you think I want bad for you? Yeah, what I want from my people of my church is for everyone to fail. That'd be great. Let's all proclaim the joy of the Lord as we go out and stumble in the streets. I want us to win. The only way we're going to win is if we have the proper diagnosis. The only way we're going to win is if we have the right medicine, full strength. The only way we're going to win is if we don't prevent the cure. See, in your heart, the doctor always tells you, man, I love this. The doctor always tells you, keep taking the medicine until it's gone.
Yeah. Right.
This preaches. Keep taking the medicine until it's gone. Medicine's nasty. You should see my children take medicine. It is a challenge. Where's Natalie at? Oh, sweetheart. She's about to get red-faced. Natalie takes, they give her oral suspension medicine. You know what that is? It's liquid. That's a fancy name for it. Doesn't taste very good, and you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
Poor girl. She gets a peanut butter jelly sandwich out. Drink. Holds her nose. And, ooh. Hey, listen. We laugh, but I did the same thing when I was a child. The medicine was still nasty. Listen, I was on the tail end of the castor oil fixes everything craze. I've got acne. Take castor oil. Cures what ails you. You can take castor oil, put it on your bike chain, then take a drink of it and be good for a year. What's the doctor say? Castor oil.
Yeah.
Penicillin? No, castor oil. Yeah. Is that the foulest stuff that the Lord has ever made for humans? Yet you took it because it made you feel better. Some cases. Some cases made you throw up right away.
Yep.
Oh, you must have needed it. How many ever felt better after throwing up? It's the way it works sometimes. Glory to God, He knows the body. We're preventing the cure of ourselves. See, if we don't want to hear what the preacher has to say from the Word of God, understand, it's not because of this preacher. It's because of the Word that he preaches. Please, please understand that. If a preacher gets up here and doesn't preach out of the Word of God, leave. You need to leave. Because the Word of God is what changes lives. The Word of God is what changes people. The Word of God is what gives you diagnosis. The Word of God is where you get the medicine. The Word of God is where the cure is. Leaving the Word of God is what prevents that cure. Leaving the Word of God is what prevents you getting the correct diagnosis and correct medicine. And the last thing, The devil wants to halt your rehab too. He wants you to stop getting better. He wants you to stop drawing nigh unto God, because he definitely doesn't want God to draw nigh unto you. You'd be amazed how many people I talk to that say, you know what, I would get saved, but I don't want to change my life. And we as Christians dutifully say, let God change your life, you just get saved. And that's the truth. God is the one that does the cleaning, not you and I. And I don't care who says the sinner's prayer, I'm happy that they did. But I'm amazed at, preacher, and I would never doubt somebody's salvation. I am certainly amazed at somebody that refuses to clean up their life. Yes. That refuses to search God in his riches. That refuses to search God for the proper diagnosis, the proper medicine, trying to get a cure and trying to get better. What's amazing to me is I believe the devil, Brother Mike, knows these people got saved. You knock on the door first and get them saved after Jesus knocks on the door and they open it up and let him in. I think the very next person on the door is the devil. The devil comes up and says, you didn't mean what you just did.
Yeah, right. Yes, sir.
And how many times as Christians are we sitting there, I wonder if he meant what he just did?
Yeah.
Who cares? I want them to be saved, but it's not my job to look peer into the heart of man and say, oh, you must be saved. I believe the Spirit can bear witness, but I'm not counting on the Spirit to bear witness to tell whether somebody's just saved or not. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm concerned about my salvation, not Brother Eddie's. I desperately hope that Eddie's saved, but understand this. I've got it. My heart is the only one I know, and I know it's exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? God can. God knows your heart. He knows what you need. He desperately, there's nothing better, and you teenagers look up at me right now. I promise you, you want to make your youth directors bubble over with glee. Can I use the word glee? Is that okay? Bubble over with glee. Get one life that desires to turn around. My wife and I were in the youth for 10 years. I can count on one hand. This is almost breaking my heart to tell you. I can count on one hand how many teenagers lived for God while they were teenagers. 10 years. I can probably count on half a hand how many, after they were 18 and had their free will, stayed in church. Something's missing, folks. Something's missing. You say, well, I don't want to force my children to come to church. Excuse me? You're mom and dad. Kids don't get a vote. Boy, I hope that don't hurt anybody's feelings. Kids don't get a vote. Teenagers, you don't get a vote. I tell it to my kids all the time. Well, Dad, I want this. You don't get a vote. This is a dictatorship. My house. Start paying rent. Rent is good. Pay off my bills. Get a job. What the devil does, though, is he gets, and where the devil works his best, I'm just going to be right up front with you. Where the devil works his best is in the home. It's in the home. It splinters the home apart. It splinters the hearts. It works on adults and teenagers. It works on everyone to prevent the rehabilitation of one that is weakened and one that is hurting. But you know what the devil's greatest ally is in this? Oh, you're not going to like this when I tell you, but it's the truth, and I've watched it happen a lot of times. One of the devil's greatest allies in the going against people getting rehabilitated, one of the greatest allies he has are Christians. You look at me and you listen to me. If you've got a brother, the Bible teaches, and preachers taught in his Romans class, if you get a Christian that's weaker and you're the stronger, you are to help them. You're not to hurt them. You're not to cut their legs out from under them. You're not, and that, by the way, that doesn't mean that you petty cake with them like this melon shirt. I'm giving you a diagnosis, brother. This is Mr. Well. Listen. If you have, I've seen it so often, kids wearing melon shirts at church. No, if you have folks that have fallen off, that have gotten to a point in their life where they need somebody, they've gotten to a point in their life where they need to have help. They do what they're supposed to do, brother, and they seek God. I remember a guy named Mike Sell's testimony that he sought God and somebody was there to help Mike Sells. They didn't look at him and say, "You're not worth helping." But Christians love doing that in the hopes of making a gossip circle, in the hopes of making themselves feel better. You yourself are used of the devil to be a tool of perverting a diagnosis. You're used as a tool of diluting medication. You're used as a tool of preventing a cure and stopping rehab. Amen. Yep. As Christians, we are required to forgive. It's not a thought of, "I hope I can." You are required to forgive. You know the testimony of my mother. Those of you who don't, married 22 years, great family unit. Everyone looked at us like, "Oh, that's the Ballards. What a great family." And my mother leaves. The heart-wrenching part of a divorce is never felt by anybody more than the children. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. To make matters worse, she left my father for a woman. You can't imagine the turmoil. For 10 years, I had no contact with my mother. 10 years. I couldn't bear the thought. I sought counsel upon counsel upon counsel. I begged God to change it. I just knew pandering to the sin would not help the situation. So I begged God. That's one of the worst things I can ever think of to happen to a person, is to have them go off in that life. And when my mother came back, it wasn't a hope. I was required to forgive. You say, "Well, Brother Dave, are you that big?" No, I still deal with it every day. Don't think that I don't. I deal with it because I'm a human and it's hard for me. I always think in the back of my mind, "Man, what if it happens again?" I'm sure that in the back of Miss Darlene's mind, she wonders if Mike will ever go back. But there that lady sits, him being forgiven, and her trying to help. Now listen, we live in a day and age where it's not, believe it or not, you would think that with all the tolerancy and all the love, everybody, you would think that we would live in a society where everybody should be forgiven. But I'm going to be honest with you, in this society, hardly anybody's forgiven. Right. Truly forgiven. You know what? Jesus Christ, he said, I came not to heal the ones that don't need healing. Because people in their mind think that they don't need it. Can you imagine that? People that don't believe they need any help? Whew, we are all undone. Jesus said, "I came to help the sick. And I need help. And you need help. And we together need to seek God to get a rehab." And when we know somebody is getting rehabbed, don't cut their legs out from under them, man.
All right, amen.
Don't cut their legs out from under them. Right. Hey, listen to me. "Well, I don't like the buses because when they bring those bus kids and all they do is create havoc in the church." I know a man that was listed in the scripture that was creating havoc in the church. Yeah. His name was Paul. The devil has got us so screwed up today. He's got us so screwed up in self-righteousness.
Yeah, right.
He's got us so screwed up. The Bible says, think not of yourselves higher than you ought to think. Be ye sober. We're drunk with ourselves. Oh, good Lord, I'm such a great preacher. You should want me in all your churches. You shouldn't want me to come preach to your dog. I'm undone. What I preach has got to be from God. I've got nothing to offer. But we think higher of ourselves than we ought to think. And by the way, Christians cannot wait. They cannot wait to go to a fellow that believes that of himself. Good Lord, look at me. Boy, I'm great. And people say, "Whoa, you are great. Wow, look at that smile. You're fantastic." How to influence people and them happy all the time. Isn't that great? This whole world is unhappy. Do you know why? Because we've left the great physician. We've left the doctor. We've gone to Dr. Devil because he's the one that can help us through all of our pain. He's the one that can help us through all of our sicknesses. He's the one that can help us by making us feel good with watching naked women on the television. And I'm not talking about being all naked. I'm talking about being just the naked you watch. I'm not talking about the alcohol where you got to be an alcoholic. I'm talking about stopping over at the bar for a nip at nighttime. It makes me go to sleep better. I'll help you go to sleep. I'm tired of the devil taking our people. And then when the devil gets our people and the people decide to turn around, we can't wait to jump on them and say, "You're not coming back because you're evil." We are preventing the rehabilitation of each other every day because of how we act. Dr. Gray made a statement one time, and I'll never forget it. I'm almost done. Just hang in. He made a statement one time that always piqued my curiosity. He said, do you ever realize in your finite minds that none of us deserve to be here? None of us. Then he said this, is there a person in this room right now that if they would chum up and sit next to you, your church service would be over? Because all you could think about is that person sitting next to you. Or that dirty, rotten melon wearer. That dirty, rotten Mr. Jim Well. I'm going to tell you right now, he did this and he did that and he did this. I'm never going to forgive him. You ought to get saved then. Amen. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If we're saved, we ought to be forgivers. Amen. We ought to be forgivers. Amen. We ought to be people that can't wait to help somebody back up. Amen. We ought to be willing to have a hand out all the time. Take my hand. I won't take off your shirt. And when he looks up to me, I don't care what he's done to me. I don't care what he's done to me. You look at me and you listen to me. I don't care what he's done to me. Whatever he's done to me, you ought to be willing to grab his hand and say, "Come on back. Amen. Come on back." Because I'm going to be honest with you. You may say, "I'm going to be honest with you. We're just about down to 300 in God's army. Yeah. It's about time we turn and fight for each other." I'm not willing to watch another soul be sin sick and me kick them while they're down. I'm not willing. I'm not willing as a preacher. I'm not willing as a preacher to give you diluted medicine. Amen. I'm not willing. I'm not willing to come up here with some Funkin' Wagnalls dictionary and tell you, "Well, this is really what the Bible's supposed to say. In the Greek, it really means this." I don't even know how to speak Greek. I know one family of Greeks. That's all. Listen to me. We need the right diagnosis today. The diagnosis is we need to get closer to God. That's the diagnosis. We need to throw everything else away. I can't because. You need to get rid of that statement. I can't because. Get rid of that statement. That should be out of your vocabulary. I can't because. It should be I can because. Jesus Christ wants you to come. He wants you to be part. You can't because I'm a biker. No, bikers are need. We need the bikers. No, I can't because I'm too old. Hogwash. Don't talk to me about old. Talk to me about Abraham. You say, "I can't because I'm too young." Don't talk to me about young. Look at David. You can't because you're this, because you're that. Hogwash. Christ needs every one of us to come. Amen. Then when we get here, what's sad is this. We have forsaken this place. Oh, preacher, and I'm not forcing invitation. Whether you come or not, it's up to you and God. But it's forsaken. Brother Dave, I thought this was going to be fun when I came here. I've got to be honest with you. I haven't been blessed at all. You try to get me out of this seat. Hey, that's between you and God. But I wonder about somebody that won't ever come to the altar. I always wonder why. Do you know business gets done right here? This is like the round table at Cracker Barrel. This is where business gets done. God wants you to come. He wants you to help. Because there's folks out there that need you. Need you to help them. Need you to care about them. Need you to realize what they are. Listen to me now. This is good and I'm all done. I promise you this is my last statement. They need you to realize who they are. They're you in a different body. Because the Bible says we are all sinners saved by grace. And I'm going to be honest. If I fall, I'm going to need Bobby Shell. If I fall, I'm going to need Andrew. If I fall, I'm going to need Brother Mike. If I fall, I'm going to need your help. And if you fall, I want to be there to help you.
Amen.
Because that's what the Savior tells me to do. And the devil is getting the victory every day. I'm not going to condone your sin, because condoning your sin would make me dilute the medicine or pervert the diagnosis. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to just tolerate and help everybody and not tell them what they're doing is wrong. That's not preaching. That's being liberal. When the pastor hurts your heart, maybe I wonder if Jesus is trying to help you with some medicine. Don't turn to Dr. Devil. Turn to the great physician. Turn to the great physician, Jesus Christ, because he's got your cure. And he wants you to start rehab today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I don't understand why you've called me to preach. I am the most undone vessel in this room. I believe that. And Lord, I need you. Lord, I need to start seeking you in ways that I've never sought you before. I need your help, Lord. But you knew that because you know everything. Lord, this is a church that is on the threshold of doing something great for you. But to be real honest with you, the greatest thing about this church is their love and care for one another. Lord, I pray that that never changes, because there's folks every single day that need you, and we need to be there to help take them to you. Lord, be with us in a special way. Help my heart. Give me peace. Lord, for a long time, I've been seeking after peace, seeking after that I'm doing right in your eyes, not in my eyes. Lord, I need your help. I need you to guide me. I need you to give me the right diagnosis. And Lord, don't dilute the medicine. Lord, help me in my rehab. Help me to come back and get closer to you than I've ever been before. Lord, love these people tonight. Love them as a father would, telling them that they're doing some things wrong and helping them to do them right. Lord, be with us in a special way that we would never tuck tail and run, that we would always stand up to what's going on and realize that we need your help. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, don't let them leave this building until they do. And Lord, if there's one in here that's sickly, Lord, let them come to you tonight. Let them find the medication that they need out of a diagnosis of your scriptures. Help us, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, would you come?
Let's all stand. Tonight, if you want to come, the Lord, I don't have to even say nothing to you. The Lord once spoke to you, come right now. That's right. Just come.